Welcome to today's episode.
Excited about today's topic, collaborative learning and peer instruction. It's such a powerful way to engage students, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's all about turning classmates into learning resources. We'll dive into why it works, how to design effective activities, and even a few tips for managing groups. So, Lisa, let's start with the basics. Why does collaborative learning work so well?
Great question, James. At its core, collaborative learning taps into social constructivism, a concept championed by Vygotsky. He argued that students can often achieve more with peers than they could on their own. It's about expanding what he called the zone of proximal development.
Right, and that's where the peer interactions come in, helping students bridge that gap between what they can do alone and what they can do with guidance. But it's not just about working together, is it? There's also the role of prior knowledge.
Exactly. According to Aucibel and Piaget, new information sticks better when it's anchored to what students already know. Peers are fantastic at finding relatable examples or analogies that make concepts click. It's like when one student explains something in their own words, it just resonates differently.
And let's not forget Kolb's experimental learning cycle. Groups allow for faster cycles of experiencing, reflecting, conceptualizing, and testing. Plus, collaborative learning strengthens memory because it's so social and emotional. The brain just loves that kind of engagement.
Absolutely. And there's the motivational aspect too. Positive peer interactions can really boost a student's confidence and internal drive to learn. But, and this is important, poor group dynamics can have the opposite effect, so setting up the groups well is key.
That's a perfect segue into designing activities. Lisa, what are some go-to strategies teachers can use to make peer-based learning effective?
One of my favorites is Think, Pair, Share. It's quick, only about 5 to 10 minutes, and it activates prior knowledge beautifully. You pose a question, have students think individually, pair up to discuss their answers, and then share with the class. It's so simple but effective.
I like that one too. And giving students sentence starters like, I think this because, or this connects to, can really help them articulate their thoughts. What about something a bit more in-depth?
For that, peer instruction is brilliant. It's great for tackling misconceptions. You present a conceptual question, have students answer individually, then discuss their reasoning in small groups, and answer again. The teacher wraps up by addressing the group's reasoning. It's amazing how much peer explanations can shift understanding.
That's such a good point. Sometimes, hearing a peer explain a concept can be more impactful than hearing it from the teacher. Another one I've seen work well is the jigsaw method. Could you walk us through that?
Of course. The jigsaw method is fantastic for deeper understanding. You split a topic into subtopics and assign each student in a group to become an expert on one subtopic. They then meet with other experts to learn and plan before returning to their home group to teach what they've learned. It's cooperative, builds responsibility, and everyone has a role.
I love how it encourages students to take ownership of their learning. And it's not just about explaining or practicing, right? Peer assessment is another big part of collaborative learning.
Definitely. Peer assessment can be a powerful tool if done right. The key is scaffolding it with clear rubrics and sentence stems like I like, I wonder, I suggest. It's mainly formative, so students are giving feedback to help each other improve, not for grading.
And it's interesting how assessing someone else's work can improve their own understanding. It's like they're learning to evaluate their own work through the lens of someone else's.
Exactly. Plus, it develops metacognitive skills. After any peer activity, you can ask students to reflect on questions like, what did I understand better after explaining? Or what misconception did my peer help me notice? It really solidifies the learning.
That's such a good practice. Now, group dynamics can make or break these activities. What are some tips for managing groups effectively?
First, keep groups small, around 2 to 4 students, to ensure everyone participates. Assign roles like explainer, questioner, recorder, and reporter, and rotate them so everyone gets a chance to contribute. Mixed ability groups work well for tutoring, while interest-based groups can boost engagement.
And protecting self-esteem is so important. Starting with low-stakes practice and training students in positive feedback can make a huge difference. I've seen anonymous peer assessments work well for fragile groups, too.
Absolutely. And always model how to give constructive feedback. Teachers should also circulate and listen to group discussions to catch any misconceptions or social dynamics that might need addressing.
Right. And there are so many creative ways to link these activities to prior knowledge and real-life applications. For example, asking students to design a stool and explain why three legs avoid rocking. It's such a practical way to apply geometry.
I love that example. It's all about designing tasks that require explanation and transfer. And don't forget to include a quick reflection at the end. Something as simple as "I can explain this because" can be incredibly effective.
So true. Well, Lisa, this has been such an insightful conversation. Collaborative learning really is a game changer when done thoughtfully. Any final tips for teachers?
Start small. Pick one activity, like think, pair, share, and build from there. Model often, and use peers as a force multiplier. They can help explain, practice, and assess. It's a win-win for everyone.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for joining me today, Lisa.
Bye everyone. And remember, learning is better when it's shared.